going to sing glory to God when we see our Savior Jesus Christ. And it's all going to be because of this song that we're going to sing at Calvary, 492. Let's sing. Let's stand together, please. 492. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned. Everything. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my conscious soul can only sing of glory. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Start to the service. I'm going to ask Brother Charles Prescott, if he will, to make his way to the front. I know he keeps it hot between his seat and the pulpit when he's in town, but I'm not here during Sunday school. Pastor said he prayed to start Sunday school off this morning. He said we'll just make him the designated prayer. But if you don't know Brother Prescott, and many of you might not because you've come in the last few years, it's a great man to get to know. And as Pastor spoke this morning about the many ways God uses, the many individual members, the many individual parts, and yet God is using the whole. This man has been a significant, a tremendous blessing to many churches and to this church. Amen. As a part of what God is doing in the whole. I've enjoyed getting to know him even better over these last several months. Of course, his son Andy is here at the church with us. They're from around here. They like coming home for Thanksgiving, but I want him to come back up and pray as we begin the service tonight. Brother Charles, if you will.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're here tonight in the home place, in such a special place in our hearts and our lives, Lord. And tonight we pray for each and every member that you'd bless them, Lord, and encourage them and strengthen them tonight. I pray, Lord, they'd be uplifted as they hear the message tonight. Bless the pastor, Lord, and the people. Guide and direct them, protect them, Lord. Give them your power. Give them your watch care and provision all the way through. And Lord, we pray for many souls, for the labor that's going on here, for the upcoming journey. Pray for many, many lives to be changed and transformed, just as I was, just as a teenager, not far from this place, as you reached out through loving, caring people in the local church. So tonight, Lord, we pray you'd bless this place in a special way. And thank you so much for the good report on Pastor's granddaughter, Lord. Thank you for that. And thank you for the healing that you've done there in that place. And pray you'd continue that with their family. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Have you seen the thing?
I was a slave in a foreign land. side by side, they will march into the celestial city of Jehovah, and in perfect harmony they will begin humming a new song, a song composed by God, arranged for His children, and as Satan by grace approach the land of their dreams. The host of heaven will step aside, even the angels will be silent, for they cannot sing this new song, for it is a song reserved for voices who once cried out for the Redeemer, those washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, these are the redeemed.
In your hymn books, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a precious fountain. 319. Second verse, we'll join you on the chorus. On the second verse, ladies. At the chorus, let's have the instruments drop out and lift your voice. Without any instruments, lift your voices unto the Lord on the chorus. Here we go on the fourth verse now.
Near the cross I'll watch and wait. Oh,
blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Sing it with me one time through.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Stand and let's sing it through one more time.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes right as snow.
Well, I want you to greet one another tonight. I don't want you to share any germs with anyone, but I do want you to greet one another. So important these days that you stay as healthy as you can for the work that we have before us. And so I hope you drink your orange juice, take your vitamin C, whatever like that. Wash your hands a lot. And just be careful, be conscious. We can do that. And then God will do what we cannot do. God will do what we cannot do. We talked about that this morning. God will do that health-wise also. So I hope you'll do that. If you need to bump or elbow or whatever like that, you can do that and it'll be all right. But I want you to say hi to one another. We come to this time together that we draw near the cross. Bring its scenes before me. And I trust that tonight, as we look at Passover, the scenes will be brought before us. And the wonderful, marvelous power of the blood of Christ that makes us able to sing, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. Choir will come down and be with you as we listen to the music and greet one another. So much. You may be seated, and ushers, if you will come forward as everybody's finding their way back to the seat. Other people are bringing me these quarter pocket books, and I think that tonight I'm just go ahead and put them in the offering plate. You might want to divide them up among yourselves, fellas, but it will need to go in there. So come right on, ushers, when you're ready, come right on forward. I was thinking in preparation today, David, let me give you one. Okay.
Thank you.
Take one over to Doyle.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. These quarters come out of these things real easily if you don't hold them tight. Roger, let me put one in there. And take one over to Mio. And that way, no one plate will be very heavy. Okay, all right. And search the scriptures in December is going to Hebrews chapter 9 and 10. And what a wonderful, it's like It's like the Lord planned tonight for those of you who are going to do Hebrews 9 and 10 next month, because we enter right into that, and so much we're not studying from there tonight, but wow, the gateway into that passage and the meaning of it is all in what we're doing here tonight. And so I hope that it'll be a blessing to you as we do that. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the worship that we bring to you. And Father, I pray that you'll bless as we worship you in giving, as we worship you in remembering you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We start the Christmas songs early, and as soon as we get through Thanksgiving, we start the Christmas songs. You get to use a lot more of them. A lot of times there's 20, 25 Christmas songs in a hymn book in a church in one Christmas season. We'll sing three of them maybe, but we get through a lot of them. We get through a lot of them, and that's one that's not sung very much, but what child is this? Absolutely beautiful, gorgeous. Thank you all. Thank you so very, very much. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. The book of Exodus would, of course, mean exiting. It's the exit. And whenever we come to chapter 12, it is the exit. The way out, the going out. I'm going to look in verses 21, 22, and 23 as a springboard from where we will to where we will go tonight. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel. Now here again you have the pattern God has given that I talked about this morning. God has given the instructions to Moses. Now Moses calls all the elders of Israel. He calls them together and said unto them, and they're supposed to give it to the people that are under them. Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out now and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch. Now, whenever it's a bunch, it's sort of like a whisk broom. That's what it'd be like. It'd be hyssop, which was a shrub type of thing. It would be taken. It would be tied together. Some of you have seen or heard of or maybe even seen pictures of a yard broom. Whenever people didn't have grass in the yard, and they swept the yard with a yard broom. And the hyssop would be, the shrub would be tied together. Not a heavy stemmed shrub, but thin. And it's a beautiful, the hyssop and the product of the hyssop is a wonderful thing. Sometimes in Israel, we'll be going down the street and a guy will be selling bread. And they sell these big bagels of bread. And whenever they sell you that, they give you a little packet of hyssop. Now, hyssop is the product of what grows on the hyssop shrub. And you dip that bread in the hyssop, and it's just, you can hurt yourself. It just calls for more. But the hyssop bush was bound together, and that's what it was, a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. Instructions have been given to this about how to kill the lamb and catch the blood in the basin. And you dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike it on the lintel at the top of the door and on the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Now, watch this in verse 23. For the Lord will pass through. Now, the Lord's going to pass through Egypt. That's what's going to happen. He will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house, your houses, to smite you. For 430 years, the children of Israel have been in Egypt. Moses, born in a Hebrew home, preserved miraculously by God as his parents followed God's instructions, brought into the household of Pharaoh and trained in the culture and the schools of Egypt, and brought up in the Pharaoh's house, perhaps with the man who sits on the throne as the present Pharaoh at the time we're reading. He was brought up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Somehow there was within him a sense that he was a deliverer, but he tried to do it his own way. He was going to take them on single-handedly. He saw an Egyptian abusing a Hebrew, and he killed the Egyptian. The next day he saw two of his brethren, two Hebrews, fighting among themselves. And they accused him and said, "Are you going to kill us like you did the Egyptian yesterday?" And he knew he had been found out. And he ran for his life and escaped Egypt and escaped the wrath of Pharaoh. For 430 years, they've been slaves in this land. But that's about to come to an end. And it's coming to an end through Passover. A lamb is to be taken of the first year, 1 year old or less, without blemish. to be spotless. It's to be observed from the 10th day to the 14th day of Abib, the first month of the Hebrew calendar. And then it's to be killed, and the blood is to be caught in a basin. And it's to, according to God's instructions, to be placed on the lintel above the door and on the side posts of the door. And then it's to be roasted and eaten by the people. And the instructions are very clear and very specific as to about how that will be done. And then God's going to pass through Egypt. Now, there's every reason to believe that the Egyptians had killed a lamb and put the blood on the lintel and the side posts, that they would have been spared. But the Hebrews are doing this, and if they did not do it, though they were of the Hebrews, if they did not do it, the death would come into that home. If there's no blood on the door, then the firstborn in that home must die. But if there's blood on the door, the death angel passes over. Hence the term Passover. And it's still observed today according to God's instructions. For most of the people in Israel, and I say this really in truth, for most of the people in Israel, Passover is about like Christmas in America. It's a day off. It's a holiday. Not often do the children, as instructions give here in verse 26, it come to pass when your children say, what do these services mean? Why do we do this? And you'll instruct them and tell them, because we were in Egypt and God delivered us and there was the Passover. But I want you to think of the night of Passover. Now this is a night. This is a night that is unbelievable in the lives of these people. For 430 years they've been in this place. For 430 years there has been basically no word from God. They carry over by verbal, oral repetition of the stories of Abraham, of the story of Isaac, and then of Israel, of Jacob, whose name was Israel. And they identify in their tribes according to the sons of Israel. But there's no open word from the Lord. It's a dark time. 430 years. Almost the same time as between the Old Testament and the New Testament. A dark time. And this is a dark night. It's a night of difference. In the 11th chapter, the previous chapter, when God begins to instruct Moses, he said, this night, on this night, I'm going to put a difference between you and the Egyptians. And I could talk a lot about the difference between God's people and the Egyptians. But he says, I'm going to put a difference between you. It was a night of death. Not only a night of difference, but it was a night of death. In chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, if you turn back to chapter 11, and in verses 4 through 6, and Moses said, thus shall the Lord about midnight, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, as he's instructing the people, about midnight will I go into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that setteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. And in chapter 12, verse 29, it said, it came to pass at midnight. Now that's what God told Moses was going to happen, what he told the people. And in chapter 12, verse 29, it happens. It came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. How many of you here tonight are the firstborn in your family? This was your time. This was your time. The firstborn. The firstborn. You see, race made no difference. Whether it was the king on the throne, Pharaoh on the throne, or whether it was the maid behind the mill, or whether it was the servant, or whether it was the captive in jail, in prison, it made no difference. It made no difference. Power, position, made no difference. Had no effect whatsoever. The position that Pharaoh had and the power he exercised made no difference whatsoever. He was not overlooked because he was in power. Others were not overlooked because they were poor. There was no difference whatsoever. It didn't make any difference if the firstborn in the home had won Miss Egypt and the most beautiful girl in Egypt. Made no difference. Made no difference whether it was glamorous or ugly. It made no difference. None whatsoever. Level of education made no difference. Didn't make any difference how many PhDs the individual had. Whatever they called their degrees at that time. Made no difference if they could not distinguish between their right hand and their left hand. Made no difference. The only thing that made the difference was the blood on the door. It was a night of death. You see, in every home, there was either the death of the lamb or the death of the firstborn. Now, I must tell you, whenever we talk about, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, I must bring this truth to you at this point in a clear and understandable way. It was not enough that the lamb be slain. It was not enough that the blood be caught in the basin. That was not enough. The blood that saved was applied blood. The blood setting in a bowl in the house was not effective for the angel to pass over. The blood that was effective was the blood that was applied the way God instructed it to be. You see, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, and His blood has that potential. His death has that potential for the entire world, but it is not His death only that does it, as necessary as that is. It is the blood that is applied. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing flood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? True, Jesus died for all our sins. But it's when we, by faith, receive Jesus Christ that His blood is applied and effective to us. It was a night of decision. They had to decide whether or not they were going to trust God's plan. Some may have disregarded God's plan. There is no doubt in my mind, that there were of the Hebrews in Egypt that night who said concerning Moses, "Oh, I know him. He's nothing special. He comes down here and tells us to do all this stuff and makes our life hard because he goes into Pharaoh and starts talking to Pharaoh, talks about taking us out of Egypt, and then he tells us kill a lamb and put the blood." I don't buy into that. I just don't believe that. I don't go that way. I don't think that's... They just completely disregard it. No doubt there were some like that. There were some who perhaps would have thought it crude. They would have perhaps thought it not very cultured. That's not the way we do things. I think religion ought to be more dignified than that. I remember back in the 50s, as a kid, I'd hear preachers who came and talked with my dad, and they didn't know I was listening, but I was listening. And I'd hear them talk about modernists and liberals of that day who would talk about that bloody religion, that slaughterhouse salvation, and degrade the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and people who preached about the blood of Christ and who preached it as an atonement for sin and said, "That's just so crude. That's not sophisticated enough for people who are in this day, in this generation. We need to be a little more sophisticated than that." Some may have thought they had a better plan. Some may have thought they had a better way of doing it. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Midnight's coming. This night, Passover night, this night is coming. And whenever that night comes, it makes no difference what their opinion is. It makes no difference what they think about religion. It makes no difference what they think about blood. It makes no difference what they think about any of that. It makes no difference what they think about the messenger, Moses. It makes no difference what they think about that. The only thing that's going to make the difference is the blood applied to the door. Their decision. It was a faith decision. So it is today. So it is a faith decision today. I do not know. Again, how many of you are firstborn? Firstborn. Okay. Now, I'm not a firstborn. But I wonder if I can imagine that night. The family's in the house. They've killed the lamb. They've put it up, watched it. They've killed the lamb. They've cut the blood in the basin. They've put the blood on the door. They've cooked the meal. And they're sitting in the house this night. All of a sudden, they begin to hear, "Oh, oh, oh," they hear cries of distress. And the firstborn in the home looks at his dad and he says, "Daddy, you think I'm going to be okay? Son, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. We've done exactly what God told Moses that we should do. It's going to be all right. I'm scared, Daddy. I'm scared. People are dying everywhere. I hear them crying. I hear the screams. People are dying. It's going to be okay, son. It's going to be okay." I don't know what the thoughts would have been, but I promise you, every firstborn in every home of the Hebrew people thought, "Is this going to work? Is this going to work?" I can't believe that they sat in their houses and said, ha, 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 well, I tell you what, the Egyptians are getting it tonight, but I'm okay. Don't believe they did that. Don't believe they did that. You see, they didn't have a book to look at. They didn't have a scripture to turn to that said, ah, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They didn't have that. It was a night of difference. It was a night of death. And it was a night of decision. And so it is today. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It was a night of deliverance. Christ, our Redeemer, died on the cross. Died for the sinner, the old song says. Paid all his due. All who believe are safe from the storm, for he will pass. He will pass over you. And the chorus says, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, there were a lot of things that went on leading up to that time. Oh, there was the locust, there was the darkness, there was the snakes and the staff, and there was all kinds of things, the flies and all the boils and all the water to blood and all of those kinds of things. But you see, it wasn't those things that brought the deliverance. It was the blood that brought the deliverance. It was a night of deliverance. Oh, I thank God. I thank God for the night that brought deliverance to me. Amen. I thank God for the preacher. Bill Stevens was his name. Bill was a preacher with Youth for Christ. And he came to our church. And he preached that night. And I went forward. And I said, I want to be saved. I was a church member. I'd been baptized. I'd been through the whole thing. But I'd never trusted Christ as my Savior. And that night, I received Jesus as my own Savior. And the blood was applied to my life. And I passed from death unto life. And the blood of the Lamb took care of my sins when I put my faith in Him. Tonight we come to remember Him. Now it's interesting. In the instructions and what they did after that, Moses said to them at the instruction of God, he said, when you do this throughout all your generations, you shall do this to remember that day. When we come to this tonight, we don't do it to remember that day. We do it to remember Him. Now, I may remember that day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I come tonight to remember Him. When I partake of that fruit of the vine, I remember His blood that was shed for the remission of sins. When I take that little piece of bread, I take that to remember His body that was broken for me. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing that we come tonight to worship Him, to remember Him. And all of those years that they were in bondage, and God said, this night, And then all those years later, our Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples went into that room that we call the upper room. And in the middle of that meal, in the middle of Passover, everything perfectly timed just right when the Passover lamb was offered, all of those things right in the right time, in the fulfillment of prophecy, he stopped in the middle of it and he said, that's the end of that. That's the end of that. We don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. We're not going to anymore remember that day. Now, I know that we don't forget about it and we don't cast that aside. But he said, that's not the thing we're coming to now. He said, I'm going to give you something new. I'm going to give you something new. This is the blood of the covenant, the new covenant in my blood. And as oft as you drink it and eat this representation of my broken body and my shed blood, ye do show my death until I come. So tonight we come to this. If you come to that place in your life where you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we invite you to share with us the Lord's table. This is the Lord's Supper. That's what the Word of God calls it, the Lord's Supper. It belongs to Him. And those of us who belong to Him, we invite. Now the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 11, let every man examine himself, that you not eat and drink in an unworthy manner, in a way that would be inappropriate. But I thank God. I thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank for the blood that we have sung about tonight. I thank Him for all of those things that cause us to remember Him. I've tried to not do this, but I'm going to. Once I wondered in sin's dark night, there was no way I could make my wrongs right. Then that old accuser to the Lord did cry, he is a sinner, and now he must die. And I heard a voice say, Father, I'll go, and I'll pay his sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross just to save that old sinner who is sin sick and lost, and it's still the blood that saves from sin, and it's still the blood that gives victory within, from the highest star in heaven down to the deepest sea, it's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. Oh, the blood, sing it with me, of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. The Word of God says that night that night when Jesus was betrayed. He took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." I don't want to let it go without saying it. He did not take a knife and cut out a piece of his hand and say, "This is my flesh. This is my body. Eat this." They understood what he was saying. The disciples in that room that night understood that he was not saying, "You're going to cannibalize me physically." He was not saying that at all. He did not cut his wrist and bleed into a cup and say, "Drink this." He took what was there, the fruit of the vine. He said, "This is my blood." They understood this represents the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. Where do we get that mixed up? Where does that doctrine come from? And I'm going to tell you where it comes from. It comes from the fact that people want Jesus to suffer over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And the teaching of the church is that every time the Mass is given, that Jesus suffers again and again and again and again. Every time, at every place, in every place where the Mass is celebrated, Jesus suffers again. But the Bible doesn't say that.
Right.
The Bible says he hath once,
amen,
once suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God.
Yeah.
Brother Mark, if you would, pray for the bread.
Lord Jesus, thank you that you willingly came to be our substitute and died in our place. Lord, your sinless body never once committed an act of sin, but yet on your body you bore my sin, the sins of the entire world. You hung there on the cross. Lord, you were broken for me. Thank you, Lord, for dying in my place, for offering your precious body as a sacrifice for my sin. Lord, I pray now that you would bless this time. Lord, may it be a spiritual, an intimate experience with you, Lord, reminding us of the great price,
yes,
for our salvation.
Yes.
I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and ask Aaron, if you will, just lift your voice. Stand and lift your voice where you are. Ask God's blessing on this fruit of the vine representing the blood of Christ.
Father, there's no way we can say enough thank yous. So, Lord, thank you for giving us a way to remember, a way to do something that brings us back into that intimate communion with that suffering. Lord, I'm sorry for the way that we have diminished the blood. I'm sorry for the way that we have so often taken it lightly. Father, refresh again our hearts to just how significant, how irreplaceable is this blood. And Father, as we look back, may we also look forward to that day that we drink it anew with you, remembering that final day when we will see you with our own eyes and faith becomes sight, all because of your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're going to pass both the bread and the fruit of the vine to you. If you're new to here, we just wait on one another. And you can give it to the person behind you. We don't pass them back the aisles. We just get it started, and you wait one upon another. If anyone gets overlooked, just raise your hand. We'll bring the tray to you. We want you to do that. And we generally sing something while we're doing this. I'd like us to start tonight with the old rugged cross. Go ahead and sing it. When I survey, I think you know the words to the first verse of that. When I survey, when I survey the wondrous cross which the Prince of if there's anyone who's been overlooked, would you raise your hand? Okay, some right back here in this area right here. Okay. If you would, let's sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood." Drawn from Emmanuel's veins.
sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain, lose all their guilty stain, lose all their guilty stain, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. I don't know if you know the verse. It says, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. What a wonderful truth. Jesus said to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, what a wonderful promise. Sing it with me if you will. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins. That night, what a night. What a night in Egypt. But oh, what a night in the upper room. That night, the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. He's ready to give his body to be beaten, bruised, and broken. And he gave this the symbol as he broke that bread of how his body would be broken. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Hard for a mortal mind to imagine that God would come down to be with us. And not only to take the likeness of what he had created, but to suffer abuse from the creatures that he had created. Those who owned their very life and breath and strength to him beat him and cursed him and mocked him. And after the same manner, in the same way, he took the cup. They probably drank from a common cup. And some people still do that today. We don't do that. The Bible doesn't tell us to do that. If it told us to do that, we'd do it. It doesn't tell us to do that. But we do have a common source. We have a common source for what this represents. There's no other blood. Never has been. Never will be. That is effective to cleanse sin. Except the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he took the cup. And the scripture says, when he had given thanks, he must have given thanks for what was going to be accomplished by the blood, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But he took the cup, and whenever he had given thanks, and we've given thanks, he said, take, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant. The new covenant. The better covenant. Established with better sacrifices. Established by a greater high priest. Administered in a greater tabernacle. A priest who will never be replaced. He never needs anyone to succeed him. Because he liveth forever. This is his testament. This is his testament. This is his last will and testament. This is covenant. You see, a covenant, and those of you who've been reading Hebrews, you know this. A covenant is of no effect. A will is of no effect. Until the one who makes the will dies. So he made his covenant. He made his will. And then he died for that will to go into effect. And whenever he died, that will went into effect. That last will and testament, that covenant, it went into effect upon his death. But then he rose again to administrate his own will.
Amen.
If I go in and sit down with my lawyer, he said, now this is your will. You want to do well? I said, this is my will, and this is what I want to do. I want to do it. He said, okay, who do you want to name as the administrator? I said, oh, I'll take care of that. I'm going to administrate it. He'd say, now, Mr. Reynolds, maybe you don't understand. No, I don't understand. I understand how it works. I understand how it works. He says, you can't be your own administrator because it's not going to go into effect until you die. I said, I understand that. Now, he might have some real questions about me. Valid questions. But whenever Jesus made his will, he said, I don't need an administrator. I'm going to administrate my own will. And he rose from the dead with power to administrate his own will. He died on the cross to pay for our sins, and he rose with power to forgive our sins. And he doesn't leave it up to some preacher, priest, or rabbi to apply the blood to the lives of those who come. He does that himself. Lord Jesus, tonight we remember you. We remember fondly your love for us. And may we, Lord, love you first, foremost, preeminently. May we love you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you. Now, Father, as you told the children of Israel, deliverance has come. Now get up and go. I pray that as those who have been delivered by your sacrifice, we've remembered tonight, may we get up and go and live for you. Serve you with all of our being until you call us home to be with you, until you come back for us. Either way is fine. We just look for you. Lord, can we say it to you in song? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich, full, and free. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Lord, I pray that our expressions of love will be backed up with our walk of obedience. For you tell us, Lord, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Lord, we've tried to keep this commandment tonight to remember you and show forth your death until you come back for us. I don't know, and I can't speak for everyone, Lord, but I want to say to you myself, anytime's fine with me. But until that time, Lord, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's an old song, I don't know whether you remember it or not. It says, my wonderful Lord, by angels. Of course she does. Now, if I can remember it. My wonderful Lord, my wonderful Lord, by angels and seraphs in heaven adored, I bow at thy shrine, my Savior divine, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. Oh, he is wonderful. Man, you just start thinking about songs about Jesus. Songs about Jesus. May he fill our hearts and may he fill our lives. May he fill our thoughts as we walk through this time of the year as well as all times. But so many times at this time of the year with all the good things and the right things, we kind of lose thought of that. So tonight we come once again to push the reset button right back to him. Amen. Anybody want to join this church tonight? Anybody want to join? Okay. We're going to be dismissed. I'm glad you came. I'm glad he came. I'm glad he came. He's blessed us with his presence. Go in peace. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Voices in place, please.
Also, Search the Scriptures. We'll be meeting as soon as we can get down there for our dinner for tonight, Hebrews 5-8, Search the Scriptures dinner. Thank you.